Okay, we're ready.
Hey everyone, I'm Madonna Guy and this is David Scheel.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, so David's a holistic counselor. I'm a naturopath kinesiologist. And we're going to talk about addictions again today because, again, there's such a huge variety of things that pe can be done to help people with addictions. But some addictions, of course, are very, very hardwired into the brain. I heard Joe
Like a
Rogan say this morning that to Brett Weinstein in a recent interview, that the addiction to food, for example, is one of the worst ones, because most addictions, if you give up coke, you give up heroin, you give up, sex, you give up all sorts of things, you're not going to die without it. But food addiction, you've got to keep doing it. You've got to keep
Right.
doing food. So there's a, anyway.
I know people, I've got friends actually who fasted for at least 3 weeks on just water. And
Yeah, I know a guy who does a 30-day fast once a year and has done for years because
they're
he had,
actually okay.
oh, absolutely
They
okay.
don't die without food, and it's really incredible because you wouldn't believe it until you see it.
Yeah, your body goes into phagocytosis after 3 days, which phagocytosis means that your body eats away everything it doesn't want.
Right, but I've got at least three friends who did 21-day fasts, and I don't know what I think of it, but they did it. And all the research on fasting gives that it does multi-positive thing.
Yeah,
It
right.
saves money.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a very interesting thing because well, you have to have a certain mindset to be able to do it. So some people can cope.
Oh,
Because I'm sure you
I
see
can't.
something in your friends' personalities, David, that you see when they can do these fasts.
Well, I see emotional up and down.
Yeah. Because I think like regardless of that, the body requires protein for the liver to function well. So one of the reasons why we can break down so much muscle mass during fasting is that after 3 days, the body can actually start breaking down our own muscle mass to keep the liver functioning.
Right.
So we can lose a lot of weight the same way you can with Ozempic, but you can be losing a lot of muscle mass. And I don't know whether I've ever told you this story, but I had a lady once who had come in to see me and she'd been to a naturopath and went on a 30-day juice fast and she felt amazing. And she'd lost a huge amount of weight, but I did a VLA on her. So a VLA finds out the amount of muscle mass, fat mass, hydration, how inflamed the body is. And I said to her, well, we'll just have a look and see how your body's doing. And the poor darling, her inflammation was through the roof. So even though she, and she, it was mainly fruit juices she was doing. So she didn't get the memo that fruit juices are full of sugar. And as soon as you take the pulp out or the fiber out, it's almost pure fructose going through the liver. You can cause fatty liver and all sorts of inflammatory processes.
Well, but still, I like to be positive about fasting because in most cases, you're going to do something beneficial. And so the research indicates that it assists with
Insulin resistance, absolutely.
insulin resistance, which is good because generally, if you've got a weight problem, you've probably got insulin blood sugar and whatever the connective thing is. That's not my area of
Without a
expertise,
doubt.
but.
Yes. No, so well, that's a whole metabolic health thing. So fasting helps many things to do with that.
Right, because you end up with the metabolic, and also you get the what people like about it is the keto high, because you get like a high from ketosis, or at least some people do, and
Yeah.
I haven't done it, but they talk about it. Although some of the people I've seen doing it personally, I see a lot of emotional dysregulation, because in the second day of fasting, complete fasting, you can end up with this thing like a flu, and you get all these flu
Because
symptoms.
you do detoxing. What a
Yeah,
concept.
so anyway, my thing is moderation generally,
Yeah.
like from a stoic point of view.
Well, actually, another little story. When I first started doing HCG, going back probably nearly 20 years ago now, and I've got a VLA device, so I was able to check my fat mass, muscle mass, hydration the whole time I was doing it. And of course, the difference between fasting and HCG is that you're on 500 calories a day, but you're releasing about 1500 calories of fat into the body. So therefore, you're really running on about 2000 calories a day. So I suppose that's one of the things with pure water fasting, potentially people are releasing calories to be running on as well. But what, because I'm a crazy girl, and I've been writing down my weights for 30 years, and I have them all digitalized now, and I can go back and find the last time I weighed a certain weight and blah, blah, blah. So at this time, we had had 2 years of nonstop stress since we started our big clinic, going back 15, 18 years ago, whenever it was. And it had been really fantastic for the first 8 months in our new clinic. And then the financial crisis hit the world. And then everyone started, not spending money. And within another 4 months, I'd had to sack 8 staff members
Oh,
because
right.
we were bleeding about 10 grand a
Oh,
month.
that was interesting. When the GFC happened, I was starting a design business. And in 2008, I just had to stop because the money dried up, actually. And it went from being fairly busy to fairly nothing for a new business. And I wasn't sure what to do, but I just ended up closing that and getting a job.
Well, with the emotional stuff during fasting, was that because I'm a crazy person and I write down my weights, and as I was losing weight, I was going back, and if I hit an emotional day particularly, then I would go back to my weight chart, which also I write little notes about shit that was going on at the time. Sorry, excuse the French. And what I found was that each time I'd sacked someone, there must have been which was not fun at the time. There were
Oh,
so many
sacking, yeah,
tears. It was
to
just
put them
awful.
off.
These were really beautiful human beings. I
Excellent.
loved my team. I loved my team. It was just so awful. Anyway, but what I found was that each time I hit either a plateau with my weight loss or I was hugely emotional. When I went back and had a look the last time I was that weight, it was nearly always I'd make a note, oh, I had to sack Tom on this day. Oops, had to sack Peter on this day.
Right, and
Had to sack Jack on
your
that
blood
day.
pressure probably went up at those times too.
My blood pressure has never spiked.
Oh, really?
I've had huge, huge stress
No,
over the years.
I don't
For
mean
whatever
spike.
reason, no, for whatever reason, my blood pressure seems not to be. Maybe because
But
I've already.
it goes up in if you
It.
do physical exercise, your blood pressure goes up, right?
I've
It
never
just
seen it
does.
higher than 130 over 80, not once.
Have
And
you ever measured it after
I've
running?
checked it 1,000 times.
Oh,
I have
really?
never
Okay.
seen it in. So some people,
Okay,
that's
if you
not
take a
their
lot of
indicator.
supplements, is that, but people with heart issues, it's really amazing how
Oh,
depending
no,
on
we
what
see
you
it with you,
do,
absolutely.
what you do, like for example, with addiction, I've stopped drinking coffee, and just for about a week now, and my blood pressure's really consistently gone down 10 to 15 points,
Nice.
which is like it'll be 135 or 140 over sometimes 85 to 90.
Okay, so a little high,
A little high, but then now it's like,
but pretty good.
well, well, according, the ideal is like you say, if you can have it around 120 over 80, but since just stopping coffee, it's under that. So I'm getting like 118 over 75.
You're a big coffee drinker too.
Well, it's interesting to see because I had a friend who's a retired Chinese therapist, and so he practiced for 40 years. And
He knows nothing then.
no, but he sort of said, because I gave up smoking cigarettes, and so I chewed nicotine chewing gum, and he said, maybe look at that. But I didn't really want to do that, so instead I thought, I just won't drink coffee. And that had a really profound effect. So the thing about addictions is that they can cause trouble. Like in my normal life, before I had the heart issues, it wasn't an issue because my blood pressure was always like 120 over 80. But when the heart issues happen, then it gets higher. And so it's like to regulate that, if you can find ways. Because the thing is, addictions are the way we look at it from a holistic counseling point of view, is that there's underlying issues, right? And so I suppose it'd be the same with naturopathy if you're looking at an addiction. So general, and it's often trauma or stress underlying. And so if you so there's two things we work with in counseling and addiction. One is looking at the underlying things and seeing if you can balance them. And the other part is replacement therapy. So
Absolutely.
the old way was use your willpower. But the problem is the relapse rate with addiction is like 80% relapse. In other words, only 20% succeed. And so those things were really bad. And so what happened in counseling is they developed this process called the trans-theoretical model. That's what they call it. It's not a very good name, but it basically goes through these six stages of development going through addiction. So before you start giving up, so the stages are called pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, and action. So the action of giving up addiction is number four, Right, whereas
Right,
most
yeah.
people just try it. And then after that, there's maintenance and then termination. And so basically, pre-contemplation is often when a person comes in with an addiction, someone sent them in, right? So their wife will send them in, or their
Yeah.
husband, or but somebody close to them might send them in. And so at first, they might deny they've got a problem. So in pre-contemplation, there's no intention to change. You may deny the problem and say, I don't have a drinking problem
Yeah.
if it's alcohol. And then two, contemplation is acknowledging the problem but feels ambivalent. And ambivalent means sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're in, sometimes you're no. And then it's maybe I should cut back on smoking as an example.
Yeah.
And then three, preparation plans to take action soon, may start small steps. I can call a rehab or I can call them next week. Right, and it's still not there yet.
Yeah.
And then number four, when it comes to action, the person actively modifies their behavior and their environment. So there's two things there. So that'll be like attending therapy and quitting the substance use. Now the thing about this part is the reason replacement therapy is important, because the recommendations now, if you give up smoking,
Yep.
you should use replacement therapy, nicotine patches, or because. And the reason for that is those things, even when you combine them, you take the patches, say the chewing gum and a spray, you still only can get about 20 or 30% of the nicotine that you normally get with the cigarettes.
Okay.
Right? So the replacement therapy isn't as strong. Right? So what will happen is that when we get an addiction, if we get neuroreceptors, say so they're like neuroreceptor, you've got two neuroreceptors and two things to catch them.
Yep.
And then if and with an addiction, you'll grow more,
Yes.
right? And there's different types. Sometimes they reduce, but generally you'll end up with more, whatever the receptors say for nicotine or cannabis or whatever it is, you got more receptors, right? So if you just stop and you go back to whatever two was you originally started, you've got all these receptors wanting food or whatever it is that it puts in them, and then that causes a imbalance in the dopamine in all of your positive hormones. They plummet because you're used to that. You've got all these neuroreceptors not
Yeah.
receiving anything
Yeah.
because they've grown extras because of the extra stuff you're putting in. And that's
And
the
then it takes months to regrow new cells, you know, so that the
or
new cell
ungrow.
is.
They have to ungrow and they have to ungrow back. Right? If you've got five, how do you get back to two?
Yeah.
Well, that happens slowly.
Yeah. It's as new cells are being born, the new cells know that you don't need as much because you've got less nicotine or less caffeine or less
Right.
in your system. So, as the like red blood cells, for example, they take 4 months to. You know, do a
Right.
turnover.
And so that's why, so that's why you go through these stages, because one point is the neuroreceptor growth. The other point is if you just stop some things, you can go into psychosis. Like for example, with alcohol, like people always say, just give up. But if you're a regular everyday drinking, if you give up, you could go into what's it called when you get the
The
DTs.
BTs.
You get the DTs, but you can also go into a coma and die. So, because generally
Is
the,
it true?
yeah,
I've never heard that.
I know, because it's that's why you need a therapist to try to take, because that's true. You can, because you know, I've seen people just given up, and you see them, like I've got one relation, and they just go into psychosis, right? And then it's like,
So can I just read this for a sec because I've never actually looked into this.
because it's important, because everyone's telling people to stop drinking, and
Yeah.
they don't, you can die if you just stop.
Yeah.
Look what
So
it says.
DTs, so delirium tremens, is a severe, potentially life-threatening form of alcohol withdrawal that typically occurs in chronic heavy drinkers who suddenly stop or drastically reduce alcohol intake. Obviously, with people who are chronic, they can have it by the next morning. So, you know, it's sort of like overnight can be stopping drinking. It involves intense neurological and physiological symptoms that require emergency medical care. Here's what's happening physiologically and clinically. So the cessation of alcohol disrupts the brain's GABA and glutamate balance. So that's where Carmex would be really handy or something like
Oh, no,
that.
it's actually more severe than
So
that.
alcohol acts as a depressant when removed and the brain becomes hyperexcitable. DTs usually emerge 48 to 96 hours after the last drink. We've obviously seen it way quicker than that, but can appear up to 10 days later. So then there's a neurotransmitter rebound where chronic alcohol use suppresses excitatory neurotransmitters. When alcohol is withdrawn, these rebound excessively. Right, so then you end up with more neurotransmitters associated with it. Autonomic hyperactivity, the sympathetic nervous system goes into overdrive, causing tremors, sweating, and elevated heart rate. And cortical disinhibition. So leads to hallucinations, confusion, and agitation. Holy crap!
Yeah, so in people I've seen this happen to, I've had one relative who had really bad DT, and the thing is they look, they go insane actually, and they're paranoid. So the
Yeah.
paranoia, insane, and the problem is that it needs to be treated, and usually what they use in treatment, which I support, that they'll give them temporary like Valium or something.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the
You've got
only
to calm them
things.
down.
Well, it needs
Yeah.
severe treatment because it's a really dangerous situation, and so people should be very careful with
Yeah.
because these are serious things. And I studied drug addiction just so I could understand this, and
I'm
it was.
thinking I'll have to send this to a client from last week as well.
It's very important not to tell people to stop
Yeah.
drugs, right? Because that's the general tendency in society. Oh, you're doing the wrong thing. You should stop.
Yeah.
But when you tell, whether it's alcohol, especially and the stronger drugs, they can go into, and if you look up that for anything,
Yeah.
there's severe side effects, and psychosis is one
Yeah.
of them.
And I
And
think that's why whenever I.
I've seen big men crying their eyes out in
Yeah.
DTs because they're actually become really like from a really strong guy to being in. So that change when you stop an addiction, because the addiction, people forget that the reason that people take drugs in the first place is for pleasure. They're
Yeah.
actually pleasurable things, right? So when the addiction first started, people are doing nice things with them, and then it becomes too much,
Yeah.
right? But they also do things like something like cannabis will delay a lot of, it'll help with a lot of stress, say, because it's
So,
the
do you
same.
think cannabis is addictive? Because Dr. Ian Brighthope, you know, one of our top doctors in Australia for over 53 years, he believes that it's not addictive.
Yeah, but people say all this stuff, but
Well, that's why I'm asking you.
yeah, no, and it's and things are addictive because I know lots of, because everyone knows lots of people who do that, and you know that it's really hard for them to give up. And then when you see them giving up, right? And this from my observation, let me finish. They can go into psychosis, and I've seen that over and over again. Or
But
if
is it the cannabis or is it the preservatives or the stuff that they spray on the cannabis?
no, that's see, so that sort of thing. For some reason, they want to prove that it's not addictive to say that it's not a harmful substance, right? But the fact is,
They've
it's.
been working to say it's harmful for 100 years, so very few people say it's not a harmful substance.
So I've studied the whole background of that, like the reefer madness thing. And that's made its way into the general thinking of society. And that's why people say just stop things.
Well, that's why
It's.
I mentioned Dr. Ian
Right.
Brighthope, because he's not an
Yeah, I
idiot.
know, but what I've seen, right? And what. Because I'm nearly 60, and I've watched a lot of people give
Yeah.
up things because it happens all around us. Because as you get old, you tend to give
Yes.
up things. But what often happens with either smoking or cannabis or is that people give them up and then they just stay in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Because if you
Because they
give
haven't sorted out the stuff going on underneath the addiction.
partially, but also because if you don't give it up in this really holistic way, where you like, because after action becomes maintenance, which is sustaining the change and relapse. And avoiding triggers and building new habits.
Yeah.
That's the difficult stage, right? Because withdrawal sometimes it just puts people into depression,
Yeah.
but it makes a lot of people angry,
Yeah.
right? Really angry,
Yeah.
right? And if somebody already has an anger issue and then they give that up, that was holding that back,
Yeah.
right? So until they find something to work with that anger thing, just like when you give up alcohol. If you don't take the proper precautions when you give it up, you could end up with like permanent problems.
Yeah.
And so giving up all types of things, even just tea or coffee, like just say something like coffee. A lot of people, if they give up coffee, they just get headaches, right? So you want some type of replacement therapy.
Yeah.
And you know, you can do that with herbs to a certain extent with things, because they'll definitely help that stuff. And especially if you know you get more of a detailed knowledge like you have. So when you, because when you get a client, you obviously do research straight away. What have they got? What's their dose? What's this? What social problems are they causing?
Yeah.
Because ultimately it can end up in a like a, what do they call in the diagnostic way of looking at things, it's called a addiction. No, that's not what they call it, a drug dependence disorder,
Right.
drug dependence disorder. And that's because when you there's a little you can find it online, a little checklist, because they're not all about the drug itself. They're all about how's it affecting you socially, giving up this drug, how does it affect your work, and all of those things. Because when you've got an addiction, it can affect all parts of your life.
Absolutely. And a lot of it, from my perspective, is going to be nutrients. So I just did a quick little Google. Like, if you are an alcoholic, you're going to be low in B1, B9, B6, B12, magnesium, selenium, zinc, A and D. So, the B vitamins and magnesium alone, if you take them, you're going to be in a better mood. So if you've been depleting your with alcohol for a decade, you're going to be really low in those vitamins. With smoking, you're getting rid of your C, your E, your beta carotene, your
That's
calcium,
right.
your vitamin D, your folate, your B12. Folate and B12 you require for your frontal cortex, so you can't think properly without folate. So, if you don't replace these things
Plus,
when you're trying
it
to get
increases
through,
oxidative stress and inflammation. So
absolutely, and
that
affects your
affects heart
hormones.
health and hormone, heart and hormone. So it's like,
Absolutely. So there's these layer on effects. So when people say that they're in a bad mood, and I don't know, my stepdad's daughter gave up both smoking and coffee at the same time once, and her kids wanted to go live with, my parents because she was in such a foul mood because she
was
didn't,
it, but
she gave up two things at
was
the
there
same
any
time.
replacement?
No, of course
So
not.
no, so you need replacement therapy, and that's the modern way. All the modern research says find some type of replacement therapy. So we're on a course of herbs, or maybe, and then different things as you go along. So looking at holistically, you need like that, those 6 steps, that might be over 2 years. And the other thing is to do it slowly, because everyone wants you to cut it now. Because the reason people want to stop addictions is sometimes there's lots of reasons. It might be a financial thing, because anything that becomes a lot of is going to be a cost issue, right? So the reason that people are motivated to get people give up aren't necessarily for the good of their health. But if you look at the holistic way of looking at it, because you need to plan, because it's not very easy. And what they say with addictions is that when you stop, you're really living hour to hour. Do you know what I mean? Because if you've been smoking all day, if you're a chain smoker, say, like every like you're chain
Every
smoke
break you have,
chain
every
smokers, they'll be
opportunity.
smoking every 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean? And so, or every hour. And then it's like, so that's a lot of things that you're not getting every day. So every hour when
A
you're
lot
not
of
getting
hits
that.
you're not getting,
And that can affect so many levels of your hormonal
We'll
system.
have to finish up. I sort of think maybe the whole nutritional aspects we should go into a little bit more next time.
Okay.
And and even then I was just thinking, just to finish with something funny, but AI didn't get it, so it gave me something stupid. But the movie Uncle Buck with John Candy. So he basically turns up at his brother's place and he says, "Oh, I'm on a 5-year process for giving up nicotine. So, I'm on the cigars, and then I'm going to go to cigarettes, and then I'm going to go to the chewing gum, and then I'm going to go to the patches, and then I'm, so it's very funny." Anyway, but so people have to plan these things.
Right, but just one little note.
Also, not be
I
too
want.
on yourself.
Yeah, that's right. But the problem is the people around us might be hard on us.
Yeah, it's
Because,
true, because people don't
but
understand
it's
it.
also, if I just use my willpower and I'm in a really bad mood, that's not very considerate to everyone else. Whereas if I like go, all right, well, I'll
I'll
do
go for
this
a
and this
walk, I'll get
instead.
some sunshine, I've
No, but
got in
also
neuro calms there,
take the
I'll
replacement. Like, for example, I'll just give a quick one on giving up two things. I was looking up the medical thing on giving up alcohol, cigarettes and cannabis at the same time. And because they have similar withdrawal symptoms profile, they recommend nicotine patches and chewing gum and give them up both at the same time, but with replacement therapy. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I was just looking at the medical
Interesting.
recommendation. Anyway.
But and I suppose like even very interestingly yesterday, not that I agree with this, but interesting that Dr. Oz and Bobby Kennedy were actually supporting the concept of a lower priced Ozempic. And one of, which I thought, I wonder why they're pushing that. But it gives people a bridge to start losing some weight.
Right.
So if people think of it, right, I'm going to start changing my lifestyle, use it for 6, 12 months, even though you can lose like 20 years worth of muscle mass, but knowing that in the background, but going to the gym, doing some exercise,
Yeah,
doing
because
things in the background to maintain what you can.
so even though you're on a drug, those habits might continue.
Yeah, that's
And it's
right.
about getting new habits, because you've got an old habit and you want to make new habits in the most user-friendly way for you and the people around you.
Awesome. Anyway, cool. Thanks, everyone. Have a
Thank you.
good one. Bye.
Bye.